What is up, beautiful souls? Welcome to the Intuitive Souls Podcast. If this is your first time here, welcome. I am beyond excited that the universe led you here today. If you are an OG and you keep coming back, you keep listening, growing, loving your inner child, hugging trees, taking the baths, all the things, I love you. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for your continued support. I'm so beyond grateful to have this platform, to have this space where I can share conversations, share insights, help you guys trust your intuition a bit more, manifest the life of your dreams, build your businesses that will help raise the collective vibration, all of those things. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do so. If this podcast is helping you, if it's giving you those aha moments, if it's helping you lean into your inner wisdom, if it's helping you feel confident, if it's helping you just maybe make you laugh here and there, I would be eternally grateful if you can head on over to iTunes and write a review. Those reviews allow me to get this podcast to the ears that need to hear it. And now, more than ever before, we need a little more light in this world. So if you know somebody that can benefit from listening to this podcast, if you know anybody who is interested in intuition, spirituality, all of those things, send them this podcast. I appreciate it. And be sure to come hang out with me on Instagram, because there's even more content there for you, as well as intuition exercises and so much other stuff. I'll have the handle, my handle for Instagram, in the show notes to make it easy for you to hop on over or come chill over there, whatever. So, with that being said, my gosh, I am actually in like a spring cleaning sort of vibe, and I'm looking through my laptop and I came across a couple of old episodes, like I don't know how old, but at least 2 years old episodes that were released, that I'm like, I really like these episodes. I really like these guests. I want to like re-release them because they're really great conversations. And some of them I don't even think are available anymore. I'm not sure. But in today's episode, we are going to be connecting with Becky Galantine. Becky is an amazing content creator. I have loved her content online for so many years, and she's an awesome paranormal investigator, and we had a really great conversation. I definitely didn't speak with her. It was either 2021 or 2022 that we connected. But this episode was so great. And a lot of you follow Becky. So you guys were really happy to be able to have this perspective of her life and her journey as a paranormal investigator. So I was excited to give that to you. So please enjoy this episode. Be sure to follow her as well on Instagram. And yeah, I'll see you guys around. Okay, guys, I'm really, really super stoked for today's conversation because I have been following this amazing content creator for, I feel like it's been over a year. She stumbled on my For You page and I've just been fascinated with her content. She goes around the Northeast to really historical, haunted places and tells the story of the souls and the experiences that went on. And I'm so happy to have her. Becky, whose handle is My Bloody Galantine, is here with me. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh. I'm kind of fangirling. I'm not going to lie, because I'm like, I've been following you for so long and I just love your content. And I love hearing about all of the amazing places to visit in my neck of the woods, because I'm from Connecticut. So thank you so much for, first off, traveling to all of these places and sharing your experiences and sharing the stories, because I think that it's really important to remember our history, you know. Absolutely. remember the people that had stories to tell, and to remember those souls that are not here anymore, but they had a beautiful experience here on Earth. So thank you for doing that. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you decided to go into paranormal and death care? Because you are a mortuary or mortician, yep. Right?
Yes.
That's incredible.
I'm transitioning from the mortuary job, actually. So this, I guess, all started about 10 years ago. I had my first paranormal experience, and I basically wrote it off. I continued pursuing science. I was in school for biology, and I told myself that wasn't happening. It's been a long journey. Until this year, the pandemic brought me to Connecticut for some reason, and I started my mortuary apprenticeship. And in that time, I couldn't meet up with people because it was a pandemic. And I wanted to keep people safe too, because of my line of work. So I started exploring, locations. And when I started telling the stories, I guess I subconsciously didn't include my face in a lot of them, because I'm like, this isn't about me. And I wanted their stories to reach people. I was being very neutral. I said, this is said that this place is haunted. And I didn't think I'd ever say, I believe I had a paranormal encounter. Now, 2 years later, I've revisited my first ghost story and allowed myself to be open to expressing it and what it was and analyzed it a little bit more. And I've actually made the transition from being a full-time mortician to exploring the paranormal full-time, because it's a calling that I can't explain. I entered death care after my friend passed away, and I thought that that was the path. And I'm glad that I have this background of ethics and respect for decedents of all cultures. And I studied the religions behind it to get where I am. But right now I'm like full charged, like completely immersed in the paranormal realm and trying to figure things out and have stories heard.
Wow. That's incredible. That's really incredible. So I love the fact that you started with a science, you know, you were a scientific logical person and you wanted to go into the line of work and learn more about the afterlife as well as the ethics and everything along those lines. So kudos to that, because I think that the best paranormal people, the best psychic mediums are the ones who don't belittle or degrade the logical.
Yep.
Scientific.
Absolutely. And I think without the background in science or even like jobs like nursing, I guess professions is what I should say, nursing and the mortuary field, you have a more like grounded understanding. So when things are really happening, it's like, even now after so many experiences, I'm just like, this is really, really happening. I'm still getting shocked. I'm still getting moved. And I hope that I always retain that. And I think that's what makes the difference. I mean, some of the best and most renowned paranormal investigators started in nursing, firefighting, stuff like that. So,
wow. That's, I think that I'm just still blown away, because I love knowing that there are people out there that are very much in the spiritual, educating people on this line of work in a very ethical way. Because I think that we can both agree there's a lot of people that do not do it ethically, respectfully, by any means. And the thing that I loved about watching you was you were always just super ethical. You always, I know that you had questions that you answered on TikTok regarding like visiting cemeteries, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I'm curious, do you have any rituals or anything when you go and you decide to go and investigate or experience a particular cemetery to keep your energy safe and to, you know, keep the ethics going?
When I enter someone's space, I enter it with the intention of either visiting them solely or telling their story. The last thing I have in mind, I humble myself. The last thing I have in mind is how it's going to play out on social media. I visit many, many spaces that never see an audience. And it's because I feel like some things are meant for me. And having that mindset when you enter a space, instead of I've thought about this a lot lately, entering a space and thinking about what it could do for you and how it could be used as a stepping stone to get you further ahead. Any spirits present are going to know that. I have seen it time and time again where I am thinking a question and asking that. Like, I haven't even asked it yet and it gets answered. So when you're walking in thinking this is going to get so many likes on the internet or something, it's going to be present. When I enter the space, I try to bring something shiny, small, something that says, I know I'm here without leaving a mark, because the point is not to leave my impression in that space. Because maybe I think my energy is good, but the next person might not. So it's more of a, thank you for letting me tell your story. I feel that you brought me here for some reason. I feel like I'm meant to see you for some reason. And that's essentially it. More recently, I've been better about protections because I'd never encountered things that were negative, but I've also noticed that, like, with protections in place, my clarity just stays in check, and going home and, you know, releasing anything that's not mine, maybe salting, you know, using salt to wash my feet and stuff like that has been more of a ritual that I've included in my experiences.
I love that. So I know we spoke about this earlier, but I'm curious, what are your top three places that you have visited and that you say, like, I think that everyone would gain some sort of takeaway from visiting these places?
That's definitely tough because every single place has had some message that it's shared with me. And one of my favorites is in New York. A little girl, Virginia Tonkin, passed away and her parents didn't want to let her go. I like this story in visiting her mausoleum because I felt it shows that not everyone approaches grief the same way. Her parents, when she passed away, took a glass coffin, like picture Sleeping Beauty, and they kept it in their home for over a year. They built the perfect mausoleum for her. And to some, leaving a coffin in a home for over a year sounds bizarre. And I want to dismantle that. I don't want to inject my bias or any biases that I've been conditioned to believe as an American about the afterlife into these stories. So I thought about it a lot. I visited her grave and her home, and I decided this is an unusual story of grief, and exploring it, even if you don't make it to the location, that is definitely significant to consider when you're passing judgment on a grieving person, thinking it's been too long, this is unusual, or judging people or saying that I get that this person passed, but they need to stop doing whatever it is you think they need to stop doing. It's just not appropriate. That's the first one. The second one I would say is Spider Gates in Massachusetts. It's a notorious Halloween location, but this one, it changed kind of my way of thinking about it because I had never heard of Quakers where I'm from. Like, I had never encountered a Quaker cemetery, but Spider Gates is actually a Quaker cemetery with kind of an unusual path that you have to follow to get to it. Like, if you want to see it, you have to actually go there and go down this path, risk getting stopped by a cop. But it's just this place that holds an absolute absence of silence. It holds silence. It's just, there's no wind passing through, nothing distracting you. And you're experiencing this graveyard, this sacred place that the Quakers maintain for you to, you know, visit and pay respects. It has this nasty reputation. And I think that the woods surrounding it could be haunted, but it made me go, we need to be respectful of these spaces we're entering. These are not just old graves. Like, this is still very important to a community of people. And that was one that kind of humbled me in a way that I can't just say whatever I want because it's shocking, or it's because what the person before me said, which is something to be, it's really hard to get comfortable doing that, saying, I don't believe this place is haunted or dangerous after other people had said it. And it truly is beautiful. The day I went, there was a fog coming over, the autumn leaves were present, and it was just stunning. And it's like, this is supposed to be at an eighth gate to hell, actually, is what it's called.
Oh my gosh. And
they claim that something happened, like there was a death there. It's not true. And that made me go, I want to be factual. I want to hold a code of ethics, and I want to be respectful to religions outside of my own. My third favorite, I know this list is not just a list, but I feel like it opens your mind when you hear this, because it's like, oh, you know, some people think, oh, just haunted, but it's like, you can pull something from every experience. And that's part of being on a spiritual journey. And my third is the lost children of the Alleghenies, because I feel like they have been so steeped in Pennsylvania lore that these two children wandered from home and they got lost in the woods, and someone had a dream to come find them. And for all of these years, there's been speculation. Did the person who had the dream know something? Or did, you know, like, what is this truly a message being sent to that person? We're tired. We're done. Come find us. And so I think that one, especially, it's just always been close to me. And I think it's an experience for people, because tragedies happen all the time. To insert a monument in a public park for people to have to pay respects to for 150 years, still remembering these children, it's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you brought up the idea of, you know, not everybody mourns the same way. Because I think that in the United States, there's a very common step-by-step process as to what happens when somebody passes over, right? We grieve, we have a wake, we have a funeral, we mourn. But going in and learning more about the afterlife for myself and understanding all of the different religions, as well as all of the different places on earth that treat death much differently than what we are accustomed to here in the United States. I mean, I have this book, The Death and Afterlife book. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes,
I love the book. But yeah, because it's just, it gives you essentially an encyclopedia of how other cultures look at death, as well as all of the paranormal things that come along with it as well. And I know that one of the cultures, I'm not sure which one, I should put that in the show notes once I go and look it up. But after a year of someone being, you know, there's a culture, I do believe that it's of Spanish descent, where they actually take the coffin out of the grave and place, you know, place the body of the deceased person to remember them again in their bed. And when I read that, I was really just amazed, because, you know, I remember my first, one of the first things that I ever like actually started really getting interested more in the afterlife was, do you remember A Rose for Emily?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, that was my first, it was like, it's a short story. And usually I think we learn about it in high school. I think most of us do. And when I heard that story, I was just I wasn't disgusted by any means. It was very interesting to me, because it gives you a completely different perspective of how people grieve, and who's to say, you know, what's right and what's wrong, because in many cultures, it's okay. And I think that going in and doing this paranormal work and any sort of spiritual work, understanding that is so key. It really, truly is. We can't go into this work.
Yeah. And, you know, I've actually come into real life cases, things that happened that I dug up myself that people had never even heard of, cases like A Rose for Emily. There was a woman who her fiance passed away from tuberculosis in Brooklyn, and she stood him up in the coffin, and they had a wedding party. They took photos. And before any ideas come in, was it for money? He didn't have money. There was nothing. There was no reason other than she wanted to see that marriage through. And so when I went to the crypt where he was kept, I actually said, I'm here to look for him. And I found out that the people who were maintaining where he was said they had never heard the story. So it's like that obscure. And then when I looked further into it, he had actually gone home to his country that he had come from. But I just thought, you know, that really things like that happen where people are so connected to these people. And from the outside, we might say, oh, bizarre, like labeling things bizarre, I think is a thing of the past. And again, with the mortuary impressions that I have and the things that people are going through even today, I think people benefit greatly from that. And there is a way to approach it. When I was in mortuary school, I can tell you right now that some people who had been in the field for 30 years were telling us ghost stories. And it didn't end there. I have been in situations where I've been with coworkers, other morticians who have said the same thing. They have some profound experience. And then there's this nature, this sterility of the government getting involved and lawsuits getting involved, where we have to tiptoe around not interfering with the grief process, which is why a lot of people have to decline being involved with it. And when I knew that my journey in the mortuary field was coming to an end because it becomes a conflict of interest, it's unfortunate, but that is the nature of how this country works.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think that's as a medium and someone who is, I like to call myself, you know, a afterlife student, because I like to learn what happens and I want to educate people on it, because there's such fear around the topic of death. And, you know, I love that you said that, you know, even in a scientific base, like there's things that cannot be explained. There are hospice nurses that talk about death and the things that happen, you know, prior to someone's passing, things that happen after someone's passing. And I think that, you know, if we take the fear out of it, take the fear out of the whole topic of death, I think that it can give us such clarity and peace of mind. I think that it can really help us understand that, you know, when someone passes, they're okay. It's us that are here to grieve. It's us that have to go through the stages of grief and cry and mourn. But I think having these open conversations and giving this content freely out to the world to help them better understand that there is more to life, guys. Like, this isn't, you know what I mean? Like, there's so much more to life before death and after death. And, you know, seeing, and I think it's just becoming so much more common that people who are in scientific based professions, they see it. You know, I have a friend who is an urgent care physician. So she's really on the front lines when someone's in a, you know, traumatic accident and everything like that. And she went into her schooling being a very, very scientific based person, right? Like, if you can't see it, it doesn't exist. And after her residency and everything like that, she has a completely different outlook on the dying process. And, you know, I just want everybody to know, like, as far as death is concerned, we have to remember that, like, when we decide to reincarnate, it's like there's only two absolutes, and that's life and death, right? Like, that's that's really it. And if we can take the fear away from the death aspect of it and learn to embrace it and learn to take the knowledge and the understanding that's readily available in books and on, you know, the internet, basically, of what the afterlife is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one example of that is that when I started this journey, it was because a friend passed away, and the images that I saw were just what's happening underground. I don't want to delve into that, but anyone grieving from a neutral aspect is think that that's the ideas they get. They wonder what's happening. Where are they going now? Are they okay? And it wasn't until 6 months later, I saw a medium for the first time in my life. And when I tell you that this woman said something that nobody could have pulled out without truly seeing her. I was on vacation. I don't know why I walked in there and I had tears in my eyes. I guess I'll tell you, she had blue hair when I met her. When I knew her, she had this aqua blue hair. Why would you look at me and assume that you could see someone with blue hair? How could you pull that? How? Without truly seeing. Mm-hmm. Because I did not have like a fun color hair that would make you guess that I had another. It was just so specific that I was like, I'm going to allow myself to believe this. And I'll say that very often. I started allowing myself to believe things. And sometimes I question, do I believe this? Or am I just saying that I believe it and not actually believing? And so I'll have these moments where I'm like, what just happened? And so my friend and I have an inside joke where we go, what just happened, after we investigate, because we're just being like mind blown every day. And I truly hope that everyone has a healthy way to explore these things.
Yeah. I love, love, love the fact that you said, I allowed myself to look at a different perspective. I allowed myself to open up my mind. Because that's really when it comes down to the spiritual path and, you know, living a spiritual-based lifestyle and trusting your intuition and allowing that internal guidance system to like nudge you in the right direction. I think that there's a big thing, like as soon as you step onto that path, the first thing to do is you do need to allow yourself to not need to break apart and try to bring the logic in things and just accept that there are things that we're never going to be able to put a step-by-step process down on paper about, you know? So I wanted to say that because I'm like, I think like someone needs to hear that. It's like, you have to allow yourself to be able to look at things differently.
Yeah. You know, I have experiences that I've kind of talked about with you privately, but I'm sitting here going, is my friend like tricking me in some way? Is my friend manipulating the data? And it's like that allowing says, stop doing that to yourself. Stop gaslighting yourself to release something that was meant for you. And it takes a while. And I don't think that everyone comes to that. And I wonder, with everyone embracing spiritualism, and just exploring their own past and things outside of what they're prescribed, what's it going to look like in 20 years? Are young kids going to be on their journeys sooner? Like, I think that I would hope that that would happen. I would hope that people didn't have to go through what I did, where I had to silence something that was trying to tell me something for so long. And that's not fair.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm totally guilty of it as well as, you know, trying to rationalize spirit. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, you're never going to rationalize spirit. Spirit is, you're not, you're just not. Like, you're going to try, your human brain is going to try. You're going to think that you're in control of the situation. But at the end of the day, I can honestly tell you that spirit is far more intertwined in your life than you give it credit for.
Absolutely. And I think the best mediums, the best investigators, the best people in this realm, even the skeptics, they still allow themselves to work through and process that. And that's where I get, where I need a few days to process, but I do allow myself eventually. But if you lose that ability to rationalize as well, you're going to just start putting out whatever, or you're going to, you know, I would say it progresses to paranoia and hearing what you want to hear. So you still have to have this level of discretion when you're working through these experiences, but at the same time, don't be too harsh. Like, not everything is corrupting what you're experiencing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like 100%. So, you know, we dove into, you know, the spiritual path and living intuitively and trusting your intuition and letting spirit be a compass for your life. Mm-hmm. if there's anybody on the spiritual path that maybe is just starting out, that's interested in learning more about death and dying and paranormal experiences, what are three pieces of advice that you would give them?
When you walk into a space or you're exploring this, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Whatever you think you know you believe, let it go. I am constantly finding a way. I think I've humbled myself enough. And I'm not talking about humble yourself from vanity. It's a different kind of humbling. It's a humbling of you need to admit you're not a good listener. You need to admit that your idea, that you're, maybe you have the most experience or you have some reason this is tied to you. But when you're in that space, anything goes. You don't know. And when you see someone else trying to approach it differently than you'd like to see it approached, let your biases go and let it happen. I think that's one of the hardest things. And I think that that's something that people need to explore. The second thing I'll say is don't let movies and the idea of what paranormal look like affect
you. Sorry for laughing because it's so true.
Right. And you might see something on social media platforms that is too good to be true. It probably is. I am constantly having myself shook up over experiencing something that was definitely paranormal, but it's not what I thought it should look like. And this fear that you feel, I unfortunately was afraid of my first two experiences. And I didn't know how to approach it. And I think a lot of people feel that. People feel fear in their homes when something's just trying to reach out to them. And it often comes from media and the stuff that's out there. And people who are claiming to be spiritual people, but then they're doing things that aren't honest to their audience for views and likes and stuff like that. And I think, you know, we both agree on this, where there are people who are doing it for the wrong reasons. And that's something that I've learned. I let go of everything's a demon, which is the media message right now. It is all over TV and movies and everything. And I have people tell me, you're not speaking to a spirit, that's a demon. And I'm like, please trust me in this instant. And it's good that you have questions, but that's it. And that leads up to my third piece of advice, which is ask questions. When you see something presented to you, if you're not collecting your own data yet, ask questions. What happened 15 minutes before? What happened weeks leading up to this experience, this video, whatever was presented to you? Ask those questions. And if you feel like something might be haunted, don't just approach prescribed haunted locations. You don't need that. You can find something that might be in your backyard or down the street at a local park that you felt connected to, go and ask questions. Don't be afraid. Don't feel embarrassed. Don't feel like you need to follow the path that others have blazed for you. You will make your own.
Beautiful. I love that. It's so funny that that was your third one, because I knew I had to. I'm going to do a different podcast episode, but I actually spent my whole weekend in a tantra workshop, and it was very interesting and I learned a lot, but this is the only way. This is the only way to do spirituality. Everything else is bullshit. All the new age shit is bullshit. And it deterred me. I got to be honest, because it was just like, you know, there's not one path that's going to give you all of the answers.
Yep.
There isn't, you know.
You'll often see me responding to comments that say, this is fake, ghosts aren't real. And I say, thank you for watching. Like, I'm not going to try to convince you. That's not my job. Or, you know, people who find certain things disrespectful. I am never going to push my views on other people. And I've had friends who were not interested in the paranormal or investigating, who showed a little interest, but I did not force it on them. And that's the thing, is like, there's so many people that my early impressions were made by that told me, all of these things were dangerous and this and that. And I'm finally outgrowing some of the people who mentored me in a way, because I'm like, okay, I'm letting these people go because what they are saying, I think, is too close. It's too narrow-minded. Spirituality is this big, bright sun of things going in all directions. And for one person who is a dot on there to say definitively what it is, that's not fair. I think we all have practices, especially when we talk about ethics, going to cemeteries, being respectful. That's important. And those codes should always be adhered to on any side of the spectrum, you know. But these, you know, there's only one way to believe, only one way to listen. But there's going to be things that you encounter that will only react to some certain thing, some specific thing that one person may never open their mind and approach.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guilty. Like, I think that it's such, you know, spirituality and walking the spiritual path, it's a brand new world. Like, let's be completely honest. Like, you go to a new age store, there's books upon books upon books, there's crystals and everything like that. And something that my guides have told me that I want to share with you guys is that you can get so excited and want to do all the things and learn all the things and do all the rituals and everything like that. But your spiritual path, it's not like you're going to turn around and go back to where you were. Because once you're on the path, you're on the path. And this is lifelong commitment. Yep. You know, you're going to learn things when you're 35. You're going to learn things when you're 65. It is a path. It's an experience. You don't have to cram everything in 1 month. You don't. Because, yeah, you know, it's true. Because it's like you start out and like, it was through my journey from, you know, my spiritual awakening to now, it's like, I've learned so much. I've changed my opinion on certain topics, yep, because I've experienced different things. Absolutely. And you have to just let it unfold as it will. The mm-hmm. right mentors are going to find you, or you're going to find them. You're going to find the right subject at the right time that your soul is guiding you to it. There's no race. You know,
you
there's really
absolutely
no race.
Right. That is so, so true. And I wish I had that piece of advice as well, because when I, back in 2011, when I started allowing myself to leave the Christian mindset, I was not a Christian, but I knew that I claimed to be an atheist. And when I started finding witchcraft, and I was like, oh, I'm drawn to this for some reason. I tried to consume too much. I tried to listen to too much. I tried to look at every denomination and every angle. And now I have probably 200, 300 books on the subject. And you know how much I learned from them? Not much. You know how much I learned from living my daily life and encountering people and actually being on a path? And it took me about 10 years to acknowledge that it's a path and to let go of this idea that you can learn it all at once and that you can be this expert. That's not how it works. And you might have encounters and experiences and knowledge given to you in the early parts of your path, but it will most likely change at some point.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love that you said, like, I have 200 books, because it's true. I literally have 3 bookcases of books and I get wisdom from it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, sometimes I go back to the same books and everything like that, but it's 15% of my knowledge.
Yep.
The rest yeah. is my experiences.
Exactly. And it's like, yeah, you might, like, I have a book I was reading recently called Solitary Seance. And I like it because it explores early methods and applying them to paranormal investigating. So it's teaching me these methods and telling me how they can work. And it gives me an arsenal of things to try. And a lot of books are similar in that way. But when you are in the moment, in the field, experiencing something and spirit's telling you face to face, it's completely different. It's a different kind of knowledge. I don't know how to explain it, because it's like, once you're there, you know you're there. So, yeah, I love that.
Love it. Thank you. First off, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you coming on. If you guys want to follow Becky and her journey, be sure to follow her on both Instagram and TikTok at My Bloody Galentine. That's going to be in the show notes for you. Thank you again. This was so much fun.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really fun. And I, you know, it's interesting when you reached out to be on a podcast and you meet someone you don't know from the internet and you talk to them and it's like, I'm getting to know you really for the first time. And I'm like, wow, okay, we are on the same page. Like, so it's pretty amazing to see.
It is. Thank you so much.
Thank you.